Shoes.
Recorded live.
Okay, guys, this is Rick, and I goofed on my scheduling today, so my deepest apologies. I'm going to the Q&A. Nobody's here, but I'm answering the questions, and hopefully everybody will get the answers. So, in fact, while I'm looking here, I don't even see a call for today on the Q&A, even though I know there are questions posted, so apparently that's off too. So I'll just go questions that are posted. See, how long do you wait? This is submitted via email. How long do you wait on your spouse to become repentant before moving on? In other words, if behavior doesn't change, when do you divorce? Depends on the type of behavior. If they're still involved with another person and not doing anything, I would, and once you confront them, I would give them a very short period of time, maybe a week or two. But if they're not making efforts, moving the right direction, if you get into what I call relapse prevention, at that point, and Leslie says this very well, you've got one good reason to stay and one good reason to leave, and it's because God says so, that you're not going to be doing anybody any favors by continuing to kind of work it through in the same way. I'd much rather someone kind of take a drastic stance and you just say to them, hey, I love you. There's nothing I'm ever going to do to, you're going to get me to do to quit loving you. However, it's not okay to continue doing this, and which is why I'm asking you to leave, and you need to go address this thing. And if at some point, you know, you address this and you'll have a short period of time, I'll still be there, but I don't need to be a part of this. You need to go look into what's wrong. And it may be, if this is a deal breaker for you, such as an affair with another woman or another man, depending on who wrote this, you just may need to go on. Now, if they're repentant, things are a little bit different. But if they're not taking responsibility, I don't recommend waiting a long time. Hardness of heart is the one thing you can't really fix. I mean, they've got to want to do something about that. Next, hey, Rick. Been a while since we saw you. We've just hit 9 months from discovery. I've hit a wall, it seems. Recovery was easier in the beginning than it is now. This is normal. Brad seems to be a lot farther down the road than I am. That's normal. We're not in any counseling currently, and I feel myself pulling away from this process altogether. With them still working together and Brad's frustration with me not being readily available for intimacy, I feel myself retreating. All has not been bad. We've had some very special moments, and things have changed somewhat. It seems old patterns of frustration and impatience are rearing their ugly heads, though, with no resolve at this point. I've tried to explain why I'm not so very excited about intimacy at this time. At this time, last year is when things were discovered. The holiday season has been hard, and I would love to pretend this never happened. I saw the affair partner the other day and nearly flipped out. It seems so big, and I know in my heart God's bigger, but somehow it doesn't make the process any easier. There are so many issues, not to mention the hate and constant tension between Brad and our daughter. Please tell us where to go from here. I feel we're at a crossroads. If we don't stop the dance, we'll walk away and quit hanging out. So you'll walk away and call it quits. It seems to be up to me to hurry up and like Brad again and quit hanging out in the past. It's over. Let's move on so life can get back to normal. Sounds good. And if that's your recommendation, then I'll do it. Bottom line, though, it seems to be if I would just forget it and never speak of it or the pain again, then we'd be better. That feels very weighty, and I can't carry it much longer. Thanks. Okay, first off, if you'll remember two things from Harboring Hope, Mandy, that Brad's recovery line is very different than yours, and he's way out ahead of the process, and that is true. He's probably found all kinds of freedom and good things that are happening for him. You, however, due to the trauma of everything that occurred, it takes a lot longer. And we've always said that the one-year mark, or from the point of discovery, is a time when things get much, much worse. I don't know if you remember me talking about this, but the one-year anniversary, because of all of the reminders and everything that's happening, actually make it much more difficult emotionally for you. So you need to have Brad listen to this recording and this answer. The two of you would probably benefit from some counseling. If nothing else, let's set up something by phone, just so that, you know, there can be some translations and you can understand and I can kind of reset what's normal at this stage, because what you're describing is very, very normal. The issue with your daughter makes it even a bit more difficult, you know, and I know that it's also been difficult because of their continuing to work together. So I think y'all have some very specific things that it would be good for the two of you to address. I hope you maybe can get something set up, but please understand that you're right where I would expect you to be at this point, given your situation. It's very much one day at a time. And it's also a matter, Mandy, of learning to focus on the right thing as your heart continues to heal, and it will. I know that a year from, you know, it's been a year, and that probably seems like an incredibly long time, but there still is hope. So don't throw in the towel quite yet. Let's set up something by phone. Let's see. Oh, and just keep focused on something very different, by the way. Or it's something that kind of energizes you, any type of meditation, contemplative work, you know, things that encourage you. You've got to take really good care of yourself at this point. And also try to get out of town so that you and Brad can have some events that occur away, where you can kind of have an identity apart from where you're currently at, to kind of get a sense of who you are, because it's tainted right now by the filter of where you live. Borderline personality disorder. It's been almost 16 months since discovery, and I'm still struggling with feeling safe to recommit to our marriage. Last week, a close friend of mine wanted to consider the possibility of my husband having borderline personality disorder. She's perceptive and feels that this may be an issue in our recovery dragging on so long, and why there are so many contradictions that I feel from him. I have just thought that he was extremely compartmentalized, reactive, intense. But when I started reading up on this, I found myself relating to it way too much. He would be shocked if he knew that I was thinking this way. What do you recommend would be the best way to explore this? I've been feeling we will never heal from this, and now I'm wondering if it is even possible, aside from a miracle, which I do believe in. It's very daunting. Borderline personality disorder, for everyone listening to the call today, is a characterological disorder, which means it's almost like emotional dyslexia. A dyslexic, when they see a B, actually see it as a D, for instance. And so for the dyslexic to learn to kind of see life like, or see letters like everyone else, every time they see a B, they have to remember that it's really a B. Well, a characterological problem is the same way. When that person with the characterological disorder sees a certain situation, they see a D, even if everyone else sees a B, and so they don't respond like other people respond. The problem with using a characterological approach, there are lots of different filters that you can look at a circumstance through. The problem with doing those things, like looking at it from an axis two perspective, a characterological perspective, does that paradigm actually provide a benefit in how you look at your interactions? I think one of the biggest dangers that we get into in recovery is what I call the find the bad guy game, where we keep the focus very much on our mate. I can just tell you that in the long run for couples, what I have found to be much more helpful is to continue focusing on, you know, my own personal inventory. Even if that were true in terms of your husband, the danger would be that would become kind of the overall focus, and you might miss ultimately what's there for you. I think that, you know, maybe bringing that up at some point, the danger, again, I'm going to say, is you really want to try to keep the focus on yourself. And am I responding the way I ultimately want to respond to circumstances? And when we begin to look at a characterological type of thing, we're just going to be focusing on how they're responding. And I just think in the long run, I'm not going to be responsible for their responses. I'm going to be responsible for mine. So my encouragement would be, if that's the case, trust your therapist to take care of that and focus on how you're responding. See, next question. Disclosure and vengeful affair partners. This is from the forum. My wife and I attended 911 this past weekend and I carried on an affair for over a year. I was caught in early summer and promised it was over, but it wasn't. In mid-November, I confessed to my wife that I had not ended the affair and told her I would do anything to turn my life around, though there were no magic pills. The EMS weekend was amazing in so many ways, and while I know the road to recovery is long, especially for the hurt spouse, the weekend enabled us to make a giant step forward. I'm particularly excited about my wife's desire to explore her faith and spirituality and do that together with me. During the weekend, Rick encouraged us to use it as a time for disclosure. I've been lying and sneaking around for so long that the relief of confessing to my mate has lifted an amazing weight off of my shoulders, and I'm afraid placed it on my spouse. There are many things I believe my wife would have wanted me to discuss the EMS weekend. However, after a year of living in a lie, there's no way I could get around to confessing everything. There was so much. And so much I have forgotten, perhaps because the memory of what I did disgusts me. On the way home from the weekend, I decided to disclose some more information to my spouse. I had been guarded about confessing places my affair partner and I had been and things we had done together for fear they would be tainted and my wife could never again go to those places or do those things because it would be too painful of a reminder. However, after some discussion with my wife, we decided that if we avoided those places, we'd be giving power to the affair partner, and a better way to heal would be to begin making new memories together, especially in places I had visited with my affair partner. I told my wife about a few things that evening that I was ready to share. I think it was a positive experience overall, not on my point. Fast forward to 4 days after the weekend. My affair partner has been trying to contact me and see me. I've ignored her, doing my best to cut off all contact, hoping she would go away. But last night, my affair partner began texting my wife while she was working the night shift at the hospital. She sent her 8 to 10 texts over an hour or two. My affair partner revealed to my wife that she and I were separated, revealed to my wife that while she and I were separated, I had taken my affair partner to see a concert, mine and my wife's favorite band. I had not yet discussed this with my wife. She was devastated. I didn't know what hurt her worse, what I had done or the fact that I hadn't yet disclosed it. We are now devastated. My wife went immediately back to checking phone records and emails. It's like we're back to square one. She lost all security and hope that had been restored, and I lost more of her trust. The affair partner even asked my wife to give her email address so she could go forward the photographs and proof of everything she was saying. I don't know what to do or what my wife should do. I feel that the affair partner will start sending things to my wife that will continue to destroy her. I feel that my wife will be too tempted to open an email from her and be devastated all over again. I know that I have to suffer ongoing consequences, but when and how do we get it behind us and move forward together? I'm prepared to endure all of the consequences for my actions, but when does my wife get to stop suffering? I feel so terrible that my wife has to continue to suffer, but at the same time, I'm very angry. I have half a mind to take my wife over to the affair partner's house and say, you wanted it, you got it, and let her endure my wife's wrath. I realize I'm partly to blame for my lack of disclosure. I just wasn't ready. But I can see now that this is going to continue to happen. Everything I've worked so hard to conceal will eventually come out, and every time it happens, we'll fall or on another stumbling block to recovery. Because I've forgotten so much, I've decided to start a disclosure list that I will share with my wife, hopefully in a day or two, so I can just get it all out. And there are no more perilous surprises that cause us to stumble. I'm just so frustrated, confused, and saddened. Perhaps the Lord let this happen so that any memory or thought of or good things about my affair partner would be forever crushed. If that's the case, then I'm grateful. This certainly has had an impact on the intrusive thoughts. My affair partner always said to me that she hates that the affair is hurting my wife. But last night, her intention was only to hurt me by hurting my wife. I won't stand for it, and her actions have effectively eliminated any nice thought about her. Or possibly the Lord put this in their lives so soon after the weekend to show me the necessity of disclosing everything I possibly can to my wife. I pray for wisdom and guts from the Lord. I appreciate prayers and any advice. Perhaps there's another unfaithful spouse reading this farther down the road to recovery, struggling with either disclosure or a vengeful affair partner. Or a hurt spouse who has had to endure repeated unwanted contact by the affair partner who can share with me their experiences and disclose what they needed to know or perhaps what you wish you didn't know. Blessings to all who've read this. Here's to walking with him in the road to recovery. Okay, now, all I want to say on this one is their affair partners most certainly will play that that role of the good guy and that they feel sorry for your spouse, but in the long run, they're still interested in kind of their one thing too. And like I said over the weekend, affairs end unilaterally. One person decides it's over, but that doesn't mean the other person decides it's over, which is one of the reasons that disclosure is really an incredibly important thing, especially in this sort of situation. So, John, one of the things I'd recommend for you is do a complete timeline from the beginning to the end. I would literally get out a calendar. I would get out your cell phone bills. I would try to write the story as a whole from beginning to end, and that's usually how I would have someone do this, is by writing it out step by step. And then ask, you know, you want to be hitting places and dates, times, so that at least you can know there aren't any more surprises. And, you know, I think that also as your wife sees your effort in giving her the information, that is something that will be helpful for her. I'm just sorry that you ended up having to go through all that stuff. Just please know I'm praying for you guys. And, you know, you need to tell the affair partner. I wouldn't even say anything. I would just, whenever the affair partner contacts you, if your wife can respond, that would be a really good thing. Next one. Am I really okay? This is another question to the forum. I'm the hurt spouse. D-Day was 5 weeks ago, and my wife had an emotional affair with an old boyfriend. I'll spare the details, but the only thing that didn't happen was sex. My wife has been very soft-hearted, and full disclosure to this point, is there, I think. After EMS, we also found out that we have to go through dealing with a rape my wife suffered 21 years ago. We've been married 19-plus years. My question is, I'm feeling hopeful and excited about where we are in our relationship. I trust her and don't want to look at the records and emails. Why? I have fleeting moments of profound sadness, but generally, I'm glad I have the opportunity to have a much better marriage. Since we've had to go through the rape and all the emotions that and the building of a new intimate relationship, should I be feeling this way, or am I hiding something from myself? When are we going to have a comfort with each other intimately? I guess I'm just really feeling confused right now. The thing I would say on fresh starts, and am I really okay? That was a good question. I feel really hopeful also about where your relationship will end up. And it's just that it's a journey, and this journey isn't going to be over in a weekend. And it's going to be a journey that you need to be committed to for about the next 18 months. And it's a journey that's actually going to be up and down. There are going to be moments in this journey that the two of you experience things that are far better than you've ever had before. There will be other moments where each of you begins to get insights into yourself. The main thing that each of you want to focus on, though, during this next few months, as I was saying earlier in the call, is stay focused on the things that you need to look at in yourself. You heard me say it over the weekend, but my mate is never my problem. My mate just reveals the problem in me. And I want to continue allowing my mate to reveal those issues in me. So I've got to keep my view, my focus on those things, not on kind of where they're at. And it's really tempting to be watching my mate all the time and not to be kind of continually examining my heart and keeping my focus on God and my own recovery. So my biggest advice to you would be keep asking yourself, am I acting in any way that's contrary to love toward my mate? Am I really kind of focused on myself, or am I avoiding looking at myself and maybe what God has for me by overly focusing on my mate? And hopefully that will give you some direction. Okay, next. My unfaithful husband. Rick, my unfaithful husband refuses to deal or work through anything concerning with his affair or any other issue we've ever had. This is the way things have been through the marriage. He blows up and does whatever he wants to do for however long he wants, and then once it's over, I should be over it too. If I'm not, he insists that it's because I want to be a bitter, angry woman. Because I went through HH, Harboring Hope, and continue to maintain contact with the ARC forums, he points to this as yet another example of me wanting to just live in the past so I can keep on being bitter and angry. He insists that if I would just go and move on, that we could just live life and everything would be fine. No amount of explanation on my part can make him see that having a connection with other people who truly understand me and what I'm going through is the main thing that helps me keep my head screwed on straight and helps me keep my sanity so I can move forward. The longer we go on living in pretend normal, the more distant I feel toward him. I told him our relationship feels empty to me. Once again, he insists it's only because I want to keep living in the past so I can stay bitter and angry. He refuses to understand that the rest of my life is moving on and being fuller all the time. I've not given up on my life, but I think maybe I've given up on us. My walk with the Lord is stronger than it's ever been. If God didn't sustain me, I think I would die. Why is it that living this way just takes our relationship to a whole new level of shallow and superficial? Why is my husband not able to see this. Why did you refuse to deal with the affair or anything else? And when I try to get, when I try getting him to work through things, he gets angry and says, you just won't ever stop. Why is he so stubborn and arrogant, and he won't ever talk to someone who's been there or where we're at? To find out what worked for them, and maybe give it a try. Nothing else, nothing ever gets worked through. Everything gets swept under the rug. At this point, the rug is like the split out. I'm not that much of a rock climber, so I don't even want to walk it anymore. It's just way too risky, and I'm very tired. But the problem is, as long as you don't have to, as long as you kind of live in that reality and you don't see something different, then normal, just, it feels okay. I remember when my brother got glasses and we were driving home from the doctor, you know, when he made that first comment, says, oh my word, you know, the trees have leaves. Well, I mean, my poor brother had never seen a leaf on a tree because he couldn't see anything farther than his hand in front of his face. And I think that for your husband, because he's kind of trapped in the way he sees things, and he's what I call closed channel, he's really not willing to consider another reality because that means that it might have to be about him somewhat, and it's much easier to make it about you. It, you know, he continues going the other way. You, on the other hand, are getting a new set of glasses, and the trees have leaves. You see other possibilities, and it's dangerous in a relationship when one party begins to change and the other one doesn't, which is why in AA, they always want the person, one person to be an Al-Anon and one person to be an AA, because they're both learning to get a new set of glasses through which to see the relationship. It's going to continue to hurt because the more you kind of gain clarity and the more he stays stuck in his old way, the more apparent kind of his limited way of thinking becomes. And at many levels, kind of the more intolerable. The thing you want to guard against is hardening your or becoming contemptuous and losing regard. Do pray, again, keep your focus on yourself, not on him. And you'll have to decide in the long run kind of what you want to do with your life. But don't, like I was saying to someone earlier, don't let your mate become your primary focus. It sounds like you've done a good job at focusing on yourself. And, you know, I would challenge you, try as much as you can to enjoy him. To try to enjoy him in the process. Let's see. Next. Disclosure, really. I'm the hurt spouse. I believe John is still hiding information from me, even though he's given me this disclosure list. He still refuses to give me access to his checking account. His opinion on this is very strong, making me want to see it more. He says it's too shameful. Everything I've read says he needs to reveal the shame in order to make disclosure. I feel like he's still hiding and not fully disclosed, as all of you say he needs to be for the reconciliation. He knows he needs to do this, full disclosure, nothing else, right? Should I have access to this information, thoughts and replies? If you were to get access to this information, you know, I think I would ask him, what is it that is the barrier to him that would be causing kind of his difficulty in letting you see that? Because if he can just begin to talk about talking about it, it may begin to kind of detoxify the shame. And I tell you, dying to self sometimes for people is a process. I know that he has disclosed a lot of stuff he never thought he would disclose. And I would, one thing I would ask, if he's making progress, remember I said it would take about 6 weeks and it hadn't been 6 weeks yet, I would trust that the Holy Spirit's going to continue working on him and helping him to get to the place where he can work through this thing. We probably need to set up it might also be useful if we could set up some sort of counseling session to talk through some of that together, or get somebody else, your counselor, to help you work through that. Am I okay, really? Last but not least, I'm the hurt spouse. D-Day was 5 weeks ago, and my wife had an emotional affair with her boyfriend. Okay, we've already answered that question. That was answered from earlier on today. That being said, guys, I am so sorry that I messed up the schedule today. We will not be meeting next week, but we'll pick it back up, I think, on the 4th, but it may not be till right after that. I'm going to be out of town on the 4th. So everybody get your questions in, and I hope everybody has a very Merry Christmas. Thanks for all the questions, and I look forward to talking to you guys I guess next year. So God bless everybody. See ya. Bye-bye.